Fine. So I will share with you what drove me absolutely crazy about Parashat Naso as I was going through Midrash Rabbah. So my longest days of Midrash Rabbah learning so far, and probably ever, was Naso. Because...
Yeah,
but that's not how this works. Here's what is crazy. So, if you look at Midrash Rabbah, they do this very interesting thing. The latter half of Parashat Naso, as you know, is the karbanot of the Nisim. And there you have all types of things that we bring, right? So what do we bring?
I mean, I forgot all the details, but I know I
repeat. Okay, well, so you're forgetting the details. That's not how Midrash works. Midrash doesn't forget details. In fact, right?
Does it go through them painstakingly?
Oh, so that isn't the most crazy thing to me. But it goes like this. Right? So what do the Pesukim say? They're all the same, right? Karbano, Karat, Kesef, Achat, Shloshim, Umeah, Mishkala, Umizrak, Echad, Kesef, Shivim, Shekel, Shagel, Kodesh, Neim, Elim, Solib, Lulav, Hashem, Elim, Chakaf, Achat, Asar, Azev, Melakhtori, Parachat, Ben Makar, Ayal, Achat, Kevitz, Achat, Ben Shnetel, Ola, Sirizim, Echad, Achatat, Zevach, Shlomim, Bakar, Shnaim, Elim, Chavishat, Vizim, Chavishak, Vazim, Neishan, Achamishah, Ze, Karban, Nachshon, Ben Aminadav. So each of them will have a silver bowl weighing 130 shekel, a silver basin of 70 shekel with flour and oil, a golden ladle of 10 shekel, weighing 10 shekel with ktoret, one bull, one ram, one lamb, which is three, one plus one plus one is three, right? A goat, right? Two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five lambs, right? Each of them is the same. The Midrash does the following. The Midrash says, aha, each of those numbers is symbolic. That's not what's weird for me in the Midrash. What it does is for each shevet, it finds a different way in which those numbers are symbolic specifically for that shevet, which takes a lot of creative moves. So here you start at Parsha Yud Gimel, okay, here.
Okay.
And Parsha Yud Aleph.
Parshat
Yudalad. I kid you not.
Little
Parsha Yudalad. That's what it's called. They're called Parshia. I didn't make that up. That wasn't a mistake.
No.
Do you see how many pages this is? Do you understand how... This is how they symbolically do it. Now, so I've been thinking about it. Like, what is the Midrash thinking? Because look, it's one thing if the numbers all meant the same thing. Right? Because that's a classic Midrashic thing, right? Which is, okay, each of these numbers means something symbolically, and that's why they brought these, okay? It's a totally another world of Midrashic analysis when you think that, yes, each Shevet brought the same Karban, and they're all symbolic, and they're all symbolic of different things, right? And they're all symbolic of different things. This is a totally different methodological world. Now, to be fair, when you look up Bamidbar Rabbah, you discover A, it is the latest of the Bamidbar of the Midrash Rabbahs, right? Rashi didn't have it. This is like medieval. And as the people commenting on it point out, this Midrash, among others, seems to go far afield of normal Midrashic analysis, and you forget where you're supposed to be. But what is the Midrash trying to do?
Establish itself?
I don't know. No, so I think, though, seriously, you have to think about it. I think there are different ways of taking it, right? One is to take it very minimalist view of how much you think the Midrash is trying to anchor itself to Pshat and saying, listen, obviously, if they all brought the exact same Karban, they weren't each motivated by chance to bring the exact same Karban because of different historical things, right? So you could just look at it and say, listen, this is like, I don't know, a post facto homiletic, and like, look, we can come up with, symbolic things that sort of add meaning each time you read it, right? And at some level, that may be all that it's doing, right? At the other extreme, you could take it very seriously and say, no, right? This is bimikre, right? It is an accident. Really, they could have ended up with different karbanot. It happens to be that they brought right? The same Garbun, but really each of them was motivated by like deep prophetic views about what happened in their Shavet. Now this seems to me unlikely. First of all, because that's weird. Second of all, because of the mathematics that they pull. Some of them are normal, and some of them are like, if you combine the square root of, I mean, not quite, but, you know, some of them feel that way. I tend to think that the Midrash is probably doing something in the middle, right? Which is obviously, right, you can't say that this motivated them, right? Because, I mean, that's just very odd that they all end up with the same carbon for completely different reasons, of which some of them imply to take some very fancy mathematics. But I think it might be doing more than homiletics, where I think that you would miss something in Midrash if you didn't address the fact that in the end of the day, they bring the same carbon. Right? Meaning the Midrash is building these layers of meaning on the reality that they bring the same carbon. So I do think that the Midrash is probably doing something in the middle where it's saying, listen, superficially, they are bringing the same carbon. Right? But the Midrash seems to think that the carbon is not just something they happen to bring, but that each Shevet, by bringing this carbon, inaugurating the Mishkan, is somehow stamping its identity into the Mishkan, into Jewish history. And I think what the Midrash is trying to do is saying, look, on the one hand, it's the same thing, right? Each Shevet is contributing and becoming part of the story of Klal Yisrael equally. But in the end of the day, they have different stories. And therefore, you have to view them at two levels, right? At one level, each Shevet brings the same carbon, right? But at the other level, each Shevet, right, their story is not going to be identical. Right? And I think Midrash is trying to, right? Again, is it a homiletic? Probably it's a homiletic. But is it trying to do two things at once? I mean, I always think in the Midrash, one of the key things methodologically with reading Midrash is you can't get lost to the point where you forget the psukim, right? Like if you read the Midrashim straight, you would get lost and almost think, oh, each Shevet has a totally different identity and different history, and you'd forget that the Midrash is commenting on the fact that we repeat the exact same Garbun 12 times. Right? And I think to properly read the Midrash, you need to keep those two in your head at the same time. Right? The fact that the psukim equate the Shvatim, and the Midrash is going out of its way to not. Right? And to get the full meaning, I think you need to be able to maintain that duality. Right? That's at least how I read what the Midrash is doing. But just to give you an idea of why I think, right, you know, you have to understand the Midrash is, right, really dedicated to it. Just to give you like an example. Okay. So
you're gonna read one of the examples.
I can't read all of it. Each one of them is huge.
Just bring one of the examples.
Yeah. So, for example, right, he'll say, where's the number start? Right, the number starts. I mean, when you look through it, right, in the middle of the Midrash, it'll tell you, right, Ma ra'wanisim lahakriv. You know, maybe I'll do an example tomorrow. But just to sort of prove this point, right, in the middle of Parsha Yud Gimel and Ot Yud Dalet, right, it says very explicitly, Ma ra'wanisim lahakriv karbonot binyan zeh. Rabbanan Amram Afalbisha Karban Shave Ekrivu, Kulam Aldvarim Gidolim Ekrivu, Kalachad Vechad Ekrivu Lefi Daito, right? Meaning what I'm saying, I think, is the simple thought of the Midrash, right? Maybe I'll give you an example tomorrow, right? But just what I read in the line is, right, why did the Nisim bring the Karban they did? So the rabbis say, Afalbisha Karban Shave Ekrivu Kulam, even though they brought the same Karban, Aldvarim Gidolim Ekrivu, they brought it for great things, Vekolachad Vechad Lefi Daito, and each one brought according to his own mind. Right, his own opinion, right? Meaning, the Midrash, I think, is highlighting this. We're about to go on this fanciful Midrashic tour of each Shevet's history through these numbers. But you can't forget the fact that they still ended up at the same number, right? And that, I think, is, and this is like what we talked about last week, that this is one of the goals of the Midrash, right? With the with the flags, right? Then on the one hand, there's a national identity. On the other hand, there's a tribal identity. So here, I think the Midrash is trying to do the same thing. I guess I'll leave it. Tomorrow, I'll give you one example of what this actually looks like, because that will take us the entire parsha to even get one example out properly. But I'll give you an example of just how wild these Midrashim get. Okay.